we at the barbershop. Let's rock, we at the barbershop. Stay tuned.
I'm Max Wheezy. This is Fireside Chats. Live on Spotify Green Room. We're happy to have Darnell Smith, Lauren Sesselman, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Orlando Skandrick chilling with us tonight.
You could have just said TJ Houshmandzadeh, Orlando, and friends.
It's like yes. That. Oh, it's like that.
Yeah, who's got medals? To... Who's got a Fiesta Bowl ring? Everyone that's listening needs to know this.
Yeah, go try to pawn that medal for fucking 20 euros.
Well, Lauren, I was gonna get you a
whole McDonald's meal.
I was gonna do an intro for everybody, but why don't you tell us like introduce the whole guys. Task force?
Lauren, I'm fucking annoying.
What? Hey, why don't you introduce me?
Nah, you got it.
Okay. You want me to start, Max? Or
yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so everyone, what's up? I'm Lauren Sesselman. I'm from Green Bay, Wisconsin. I know. I'm still mourning. I played for the
Wait.
It's not your turn.
Oh, I got a question.
Mute yourself, Orlando.
If you're from Green Bay, Wisconsin, how in the fuck is you
mute yourself? I played for Team Canada.
How?
Played
how?
In
wait.
The Pan American Games. World Cup and the Olympics, and yeah, I just played pro for 12 years, and now I get to hang out with these boys every week, talk football, and then I also talk to the other football, lots of soccer as well, so that's a little bit about me.
I'll jump in next, man. It's your boy Darnell, a.k.a. Big Smitty. I'm a producer for the Rock the Game podcast. I also host and fill in whenever Orlando and Lauren act like they're sick. I'm from the far east side of Indianapolis, man. Yeah, man, that's me. I'm out here grinding, Fox Sports, speak for yourself. I do all things production, man, behind the scenes. You feel me? On-air host. I'm excited to be here.
Well, I'm TJ Houshmandzadeh. Just trying to make a dollar out of 15 cents. That's what I'm trying to do.
You're doing a good job so far, TJ.
I'm trying.
I'm Orlando, the irritant, Skandrick. I'm on here just to let Darnell know that Ball State is an extension of a junior college. And weekly, I'm trying to figure out how Lauren Sesselman is from Green Bay, Wisconsin, but represented Canada in the Pan American Games.
I want
to
know that too.
Maybe one of the fans will be able to tell me, but I've never had the urge, not even when my NFL career was over, to go pursue being a professional in a different country.
He doesn't understand sports at the international level, the highest level that you could possibly play at. He doesn't understand that, so it's all good. I'm actually a dual citizen, so I can play for either or.
What age did you become?
We're here to talk football. Quiet.
And then I want to go back, go a little further. So I've been pondering as I read over my script that I do not have. I'm trying to understand how is the Olympics at the highest level when the Team USA is a collection of the best players, not the best league. Move along.
I appreciate the intros, and I appreciate the dual citizenship makes a lot of sense. Happy to have all of you once again. I'm really looking forward to this. My first question for everybody, I want you all to go around because all of you are athletes at some level. Starting with Lauren, what was your go-to pregame song?
You guys are going to laugh at me. I can't even say this. I'm like weird when it's the whole like pregame ritual type thing. I have a huge ritual. I'm a weirdo. But I actually listen, don't laugh, I listen to classical music like before to like meditate and like get ready for the game and visualize. And then I go in and I'm like, let's get pumped up. I don't really have a certain song. I just kind of have a genre. I know, don't make fun of me. But like classical music's the vibe, it really is.
What the fuck is let's get pumped up? I don't think I've ever said that in my 34 years of life.
I love rock.
Yeah, a little bit of everything. Well, Orlando, tell us what yours is.
Well, I was going to say classical works. Classical works calms the mind.
I never really had a go-to like genre. Just depends what start from leaving home, from listening to, you know, whatever I'm into for the ride there. Then from putting my headphones on to taking myself into game mode. So now I'm going to listen to whatever my motivation for the week. Now, whether it's like a revenge game, whether it's, you know, just saying you're going to dominate or being yourself. So from the time that I get out the car to the time I ride the elevator down to the locker room, I'm going to listen to that. And then before I even enter the locker room, I like to go on to walk the field in my work clothes. You know, I just came to work, so I'm going to walk it in my suit. I'm going to visualize what's going to happen. And then I'm going to go to the locker room and just control the genres and kind of control the mood of the team and just play a little bit of what everyone likes.
So for me, it's a little different. I'm pretty much listening to rap the whole time. I want my mind to think violence. And so I'm listening. When I was playing, it was a lot of Jeezy, a ton of listening to Jeezy. And this is the pregame, as you get on the field before and you warm up. And then the last song that I would listen to would be the DMX version of In the Air from Phil Collins.
Mm.
And ooh, so every week it was the same thing, Jeezy. And then just before I go out, I'm listening to that DMX version of In the Air.
Okay. Well, I'm like TJ. Like, it's pretty much rap for me the whole time. I'm thinking violence. I'm thinking, you know, kind of stuff that's going to motivate me, kind of get my mind right, get me loose, get the confidence. I mean, confidence already there, but just even put it on another level at that point. But in high school,
we're back to high school. All right.
Hey, I got a story. Let me get my. I went to a powerhouse, so I don't know what high school you probably went to a little small 1A, 2A.
You should get your fucking money back from that powerhouse because you ended up at Ball State.
I went to a powerhouse. And Ball State is better than Boise State. Y'all trash.
Yeah,
y'all,
at what? At education?
None of these listeners at the bottom want to go to Boise State. Trust me. Anyway, in high school, we listened to this Gucci Mane freestyle before every game. Go to YouTube, type in Gucci Mane freestyle. You're going to see Gucci outside. This is old school Gucci. It's the hood Gucci. He had a little small pudge in his belly outside in the street with the game. And it was a certain freestyle that we had the whole team would rap right before we got on the field, before we dominated. So I'm a hip-hop guy, big Gucci fan, big Lil Wayne fan.
I'm a non-violent person. I just want to get in that mindset. That's why the type of music. But I'm not a violent person.
Orlando, get your mask.
Hey, that's like somebody saying, "Hey, I just want to let you know I'm not an asshole. I just act like one."
I'm non-violent.
I love it. Well, listen, let's get into some football talk. One of the biggest things, I guess, that's floating out there is Aaron Rodgers possibly having played his last game at Lambeau for the Packers, however you want to put it. Lauren, you're the big Packers fan, so I want to know from you if this is really like the end of Aaron Rodgers' career in Greensboro. I mean, I'm from North Carolina. I said Greensboro. In Green Bay. Are you okay with it?
You know, we talked about this in our last episode. You know, I'm going to be sad, but I totally understand the, you know, as an athlete, you know, moving on, he wants to win. He doesn't want to be part of a rebuild. You know, I definitely can see it happening. You know, I'm going to be really sad, but, you know, A-Rod's got to do what A-Rod's got to do.
Man, Aaron Rodgers is he's good as gone. I initially thought he would come back. They had a great season. He seemed to be on the same page with management. But when you lose the last 2 years, the way they've lost the number one seed, you lose to the Bucks last year, and you turn around and lose this year to the Niners. And then Nathaniel Hackett just gets hired to Denver. Aaron Rodgers will be a Denver Bronco next year.
Mm.
I just don't see why Denver would have hired Hackett as a head coach if that wouldn't be the case, because there's guys that are way more qualified. Hackett didn't even call the plays. LaFleur did. And so that leads me to believe that Aaron Rodgers will be a quarterback for the Denver Broncos next year. Man, that division going to be tough.
Yeah, agreed.
So will you like Aaron Rodgers or will you stay a Green Bay fan? Which one would it be?
Ooh.
I mean, I appreciate good talent everywhere, so I'm always going to be an A-Rod fan. But Packers for life. Chief head for life, for sure.
Starting next year, the Packers are going to be a shitty team for a while now.
You never know.
Hey, you shouldn't be talking about what you feel. You part of ownership. You got them little stocks that ain't worth shit.
That's what I said. She's head for life.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers might come to the coach while y'all playing.
Oh, my God.
You know what? I love the
coach. Y'all just lost our D coordinator. Y'all going backwards now.
TJ, you just said it on the podcast the other day. You even mentioned that the coach would be a great option for Aaron Rodgers. If he wants to win now.
When you start losing vital pieces to the team, the D coordinator is gone. Say what you want to say.
TJ, you should tell him, man. Tell him I say a lot of shit, man. I don't mean it's true.
Well, on the point to Aaron Rodgers possibly going to the Broncos, like, as players, you know, obviously there's, you know, TJ, when you played in the NFC North, you know, you had tough battles between the Ravens and the Steelers. You know, Orlando, you played in a time when the NFC East was tough. Like, is it hard to, like, get up for some of those games when you know you got to play six times against, you know, really tough division opponents?
Hell no. Every day my kids wake up and they ask for breakfast and lunch and dinner, it made it easy to wake up because, you know, I had a goal. You know, and I always went into something with a goal. And being a kid from South Central Los Angeles that didn't really come from much, come from a single mom, you know, with a dad that was kind of never in the house and, you know, was here from a financial standpoint, but not from a man standpoint all the time, you know, it made it really easy. I knew everything from the way I was raised. I knew everything I didn't want to be. So every day I went to work, I worked to be everything that I wanted to be.
Okay. Oh, I hear you. But I mean, when you're playing football, when you come from the background that we come from, that's just the icing on the cake. That's the fun part. Is you're not scared. You're not intimidated. You're excited for the game. You look forward to the game. Sunday is the best day of the week. It's the preparation that gets mundane. That's the reason guys retire. The Sunday part, if you could just show up on Sunday and play, nobody would retire. And so playing divisional opponents, whomever it is, six times a year, eight times a year, it doesn't matter because you live for Sunday when you play in the National Football League. It's just that much fun.
For sure, for sure. Another big thing that kind of came out this week was obviously Sean Payton stepping down as coach of the Saints. A lot of the, I guess, media narrative was that, you know, he could possibly be, you know, the Cowboys coach in the near future. But Orlando, obviously, you're tapped in terms of the Cowboys. Like, do you think Jerry Jones will go after Peyton regardless of how Mike McCarthy does next year, or is that more of a media narrative in your opinion?
Absolutely, I think he does. I think what Sean did was what every player wants to do when they're done and it don't work for them. They want to be let out of their contract. You know, but you just can't do that as a player. And pretty much because of everything that Sean did for the city of New Orleans, you know, for the New Orleans Saints organization, they're letting him do it. But this is the Urban Meyer special. I mean, TJ, correct me if I'm wrong.
I truly believe Sean Payton will be the next coach of the Cowboys. I don't believe it will be this season because they're going to give Mike McCarthy another year, and they know Mike McCarthy is going to do what Mike McCarthy does, not get it done. And so Sean Payton is going to take this year off and go on the TV, but make no mistake about it, Sean Payton is going to be the next head coach of the Cowboys. I will be completely shocked in 2020. The Cowboys have to win the Super Bowl. I don't believe they win it. if Mike McCarthy wins the Super Bowl, then what we're talking about doesn't matter. But I believe as soon as I saw Sean Payton retire, I'm like, oh, he's going to retire for 1 year, get his coaching staff together, and go coach the Cowboys. That's what I foresee happening for sure.
TJ, let's talk about a little bit about how coaches are able to do this and not play.
I mean, everything, and we all know their contracts are guaranteed. Ours aren't. Coaches can come and go as they please. We cannot. It's there's so many things that coaches, they get lifetime medical insurance after 3 to 4 years of coaching.
And they already owe this shit. They already owe this shit too.
And so when it comes to so many different things, when you can coach player, they get fired, they still get paid. You get cut, go find another team. And so there's just so many things that aren't right about it. But as you're playing, you don't pay attention and worry about that type of stuff until you get older. And you're like, damn, I really failed the guys that are coming after me because I should have tried to look after them like the guys before me should have tried to look after us. Things got to get better. There's no way a coach can say, oh, I'm out. But as a player, if you feel like you underpaid or you want to go play somewhere else, you got to act out a character. You got to be, quote unquote, an asshole to get your way instead of saying, you know what, I'm being underpaid. Can I go play for somebody that will pay me? It doesn't work that way. But coaches, they can do that.
Yeah, I mean, I feel kind of indifferent about it. I love Sean Payton as am I. But I mean, Sean Payton, he basically went for broke 3 years in a row to win a Super Bowl, 4 years in a row, all the way back to Breeze and how they handled Breeze's situation. They're over the cap. They don't got many assets. They can't move many directions. And now he don't want to work there no more, you know. And the owner of the Saints is a woman, you know. And I'm not saying that she's any less or more owner than anybody else. But, you know, she don't have that cutthroat. Like, if I'm running the Saints, I'm saying, you know, you can sit out this year. But when you do decide to work, I still own your rights and I want some compensation. But she's probably not going to say that.
Hey, man, this is crazy. I didn't know people can, like, ask questions and stuff. I'm kind of in a little chat now. I started to see this. So I'm kind of just jumping the gun. I don't know, Maxwell, cut me off if I should do this or not.
I was going to say, I'll definitely let folks, if folks have questions, we can, at the end, I'll let people come up on stage and ask you guys questions in person. Or, like, if people don't come on stage or whatever, I can definitely go back to the chat and
address them at the end. I'll get to your question later, what happened in Seattle and anything else.
I'm going to keep it 100. For sure. We wouldn't expect anything less. TJ, while you're there, I do have a question for you, man. So Bengals obviously having a really great year. They're about to play for the chance to go to the Super Bowl on Sunday. Do you feel like the culture inside the Bengals organization has changed at all in the last few years or since you've been there? Or do you think this success is pretty much because of Joe Burrow?
The culture has changed, but there's only so much you can do. When you start winning, things start to change because you're having success. Guys buy in. Guys aren't as divisive. And so that always helps. But the top hasn't changed since I've been there. Marvin changed the culture of the Bengals. I've said this plenty of times. When I first got to the Bengals, we didn't have water, Gatorade, food in the locker room, bro. We had nothing. Like, they dumped used jock straps in the middle of the locker room and go get one. And so Marvin Lewis comes in. We didn't stay in hotels for home games, bro. Like, we were young. We was out Saturday night. You got a game the next day. And so the culture change started with Marvin Lewis. And Zach Taylor, obviously, 2 years ago, they were 2-14 with the first pick of the draft. They're in the AFC Championship game. So a ton has changed. But make no mistake about it, they have really good players. When you have good players, whether the culture change is a big deal or not, good players can overcome it. And that's what they have. And it's not just Joe. Joe gets a lot of the credit, rightfully so. But those guys on the outside and Joe Mixon and Uzuma and that defense, they deserve a ton of credit.
Hey, TJ, random question. Who's the Bengals general manager?
I believe it's Duke Tobin, but they don't have a general manager per se, you know, in title. It's Duke Tobin, Katie Blackburn, Troy Blackburn. Katie Blackburn is the owner's daughter. Troy is her husband.
So why he don't get all the flack that Jerry Jones gets?
Because Mike Brown isn't making the decisions as the owner like Jerry Jones does. But no. Oh, he gets a lot of flack. It's because the Cowboys, quote unquote, is America's team. People expect a lot out of them. The Bengals are not America's team, and people don't expect anything out of them.
I mean, I kind of knew that. I just wanted you to reaffirm it. But the Bengals don't even have like a scouting department, from my understanding.
Not. You know what's crazy though? They don't have a scouting department like other teams. Like, one thing that I liked, or I was got familiar with once I went to other teams. Dude, you knew, like in Cincinnati, you see the same people almost every day. You knew them by first name. Hey, what's up, so-and-so? Hey, what's up? You go to Seattle, you see somebody on Monday, you might not see them again for like 3 weeks. It's so many different people. And whether they have a scouting department or not, the Bengals hit on their draft picks. Very, very rarely do they draft picks be bust. They draft the right guys. They hit with the guys they drafted.
Well, they always draft them fuckers in the top 15. They better.
Can I ask your opinion, though, because, like, it was a huge debate, I know, around this past draft. Do they take Sewell? Obviously, they went with Chase. That's worked out for them. But that offensive line is still a problem. I don't want to debate like whether or not like the pick was right or not, because obviously, you know, Chase is amazing. But in terms of like why that works, and in your opinion, like if they can, like what do they have to do now to make sure that works and make sure in a few years like people are like, oh damn, they should have drafted the O lineman. Like how do you maintain that?
Hell no,
if you're the Bengals,
Maxwell. So this is the thinking in football. It's easier to find a really good offensive lineman than it is to find a game-breaking receiver. That's the thought, because I was one that felt like, man, they should draft Penei Sewell from Oregon. I was wrong, because what Ja'Marr Chase has done has been remarkable as a rookie – having the type of season that he's had. Now the Bengals see we need offensive line help. We can get hopefully that in free agency, or we can get that in draft this year. The Bengals made the right call in drafting Chase, and I think a lot of people were 50-50 on that, but the rule of thumb and the thought around the league is when you have a game-breaking receiver, you draft them. They don't come around often. You can find a really good offensive lineman second, third, fourth round. As a receiver, you can, but not a game-breaking receiver.
Especially the best receiver in Bengals history.
That, hey, as y'all youngsters would say, all cap. He's on his way. he's on his way.
For sure.
You know me, I'm not a hater.
My bad, TJ. Finish your thought. My bad.
No, he's on his way, but he's nowhere near there now. Nowhere near. I mean, there's three guys in front of him easy.
Sometimes, you know, Maxwell, sometimes you can just call something out before it happens. You can just see it. You know, this man Ja'Marr Chase is on a certain path that if he stays healthy, I know it's tough to say, but he's on a path to be the GOAT receiver in Bengals history. It just is what it is. You know, I'm just calling before it happens.
He's on path to be one of the best receivers in NFL history if he stay on his trajectory, not Bengals history, right. NFL. You're talking NFL.
Especially with Burrow as a QB too. So, I mean, man.
Well, that's a perfect transition to my next question, because Darnell and I are the same age. So, Darnell, let me know if you disagree with me, but I feel like the era of football that I grew up with and watched when I was a kid, I feel like, you know, that was obviously, TJ, you were playing then. But I feel like that was a golden era of wide receivers. Like, you had T.O., Randy Moss, Chad, Steve Smith, Marvin Harrison, Reggie Wayne, like, all playing at the same time. And to me, like, that was, like, the best group wide receivers the NFL had ever had in one era, in my opinion. For you, TJ, like, what was it like to play during that time when you had – bunch of great receivers on the other side.
It just made it fun. It was like probably an unspoken competition. I know what I would do was I would just get the DVDs of receivers I thought were nice in the off season after every season, and I would just watch them and see what from their game I could add into mine. But those were unspoken competition. What did he do this game? Okay, what did he do against so-and-so? Okay, I got to make sure I outdo him when they played against this DB and this team. It just made it fun. Can you imagine if we had social media then, being able to communicate and just have fun in that way, more so than just having to go through the media? And that's where it's better now, because if I feel or think something, I can just put it out there right now. I don't have to tell the media, and then it gets to them in that other city or wherever they may be. But back then, it was fun. I'm not going to lie, man. And the time just flies by. But I'm sure the guys of today, it's the same thing. They think and do the same thing. They're in competition with each other, unspoken, may not say it, but it is. That's what it is.
For sure. Yeah, no, I think it's just so fun to watch this group. But I just remember, man, going back and as a kid, watching that group that you guys had was just like amazing. And I think we have an opportunity for, like you guys talked about, Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, a lot of these young guys coming up have a chance to be a really special group. One thing that, you know, this is another discussion that's really happened in the NFL with all these coaching openings is, you know, off, like, especially for some of these teams like the Jaguars, you know, with a young quarterback, like offensive coaches versus defensive coaches. And Orlando, I know you played, and I want everybody's opinion, but Orlando, I know you played for Wade Phillips, who was, you know, defensive, and then Jason Garrett, who was offensive. As a player, which did you prefer in terms of, like, just style or whatever?
Nobody cares. This ain't fucking the 80s. Nobody cares about defense. I mean, you just have to get stops. Eventually, you got to play offense. This is an offensive-driven league. All the rules are geared towards offense. And, you know, right now, defense is at an all-time level of low. You talk about what happened in that Chiefs game. If the Bills were the best defense statistically in every category during the year and they give up 42, what does that tell you? It's really an offensive-driven league. I mean, Jason Garrett was an offensive coach. And, you know, I don't necessarily an offensive or defensive coach never really bothered me, except for when you were in two-minute drill and you knew which way the coach was going for.
Yeah, go ahead, Darnell.
No, I got you, man. Obviously, you know, I didn't play at that level, but just even to piggyback off of what Orlando said, yeah, it's an offensive league. And at the end of the day, man, I don't care how great your defense is, you're going to give them points. It just the way with the rule changes, and these guys are so damn talented, you know, that it's hard to get, you know, too many stops. You know what I'm saying? So with that being said, you want an offensive minded coach, you know, someone who can, you know, really put you in the best position to score and ultimately win games. You know what I'm saying? And as far as the defensive side, you know, you just want to be able to try to get stops in those key moments. You know what I'm saying? Like, understanding that you're going to give us some scores. It is what it is. But can we get those stops that really matter? So, like, yeah, to answer your question, I think in today, because of today's game, you definitely prefer to lean on a more offensive-minded coach.
I wouldn't say you lean on an offensive-minded coach, Darnell. I just think you need offense. There's only so many defenses you can run and so many variations.
Yeah, I think we're pretty much, I agree with you. We're pretty much saying the same thing. Yeah, I mean, defense, at the end of the day, man, go out there, stay in your gaps, you know what I mean? Like you said, defense is a little bit more simpler. It's like you said, it's not too much you can really do. Like, get some dogs out there, guys who can hit, play physical, maintain your gap integrity, be disciplined, know your assignment, communicate, boom, do your thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, so it's a little less complex compared to offense, where schemes truly do matter. Where, you know,
schemes matter in defense. And this is where people get it wrong. You could have some dumbass coaches that don't know what they're doing, and you're scheming for this and this and that, And it's just wrong. It's just wrong. And that happens a lot to where they call the wrong defense at the wrong time. Wrong personnel. We saw it this past week. They got no timeouts, but you're going to run cover zero. Like, really?
Right.
And so I think all of this goes hand in hand. The players are only as good as the coaches, and the coaches are only as good as the players, because I can make the best call in the world. If the players can't execute it, is it the best call in the world? And that's vice versa. Yeah. And so things go hand in hand, and that's why football is the best sport in the world.
For sure. I want to get – I know I don't know if you're still like on a time crunch, Darnell. I want to get everyone's Super Bowl matchup and what you think it'll be and who you think is going to win. Darnell, you can go first.
Yeah, I still got some time. I'm good. So, man, it's a tough one. I've been going back and forth with this. Once the Niners beat the Packers and the Rams won and I saw that they would be matching up, I initially was like, yep, the Niners are going to go to Super Bowl. Just simply because the Rams, the history, they just struggle with the Niners every single time. But at some point, you got to believe that the Rams are going to get over the hump. You know, at home, I mean, you see that roster. Matt Stafford is playing
fucking,
well.
Pick the fucking team already, bro.
Things is clicking. Things are going well. Pick so I got to go with the Rams.
Team already, bro.
I got to go with the Rams, and I'm going to go with the Chiefs. I don't think the Bengals are ready yet. I think that's going to be a comfortable win.
I got Bengals Rams. I don't like the Niners. I actually really hate the Niners. So I got the underdogs, Bengals Rams. Even though I'm a semi Chiefs fan since I played there for a little bit, and I appreciate them.
I'm going
Bengals Rams. We got some good bets going on.
Wake me up when we fucking get there. Since I played there.
Shut up.
Who was the coach when you played there? Dick Vermeil.
Shut up! I hate you.
Who was the coach when we played? When
TJ,
you played there?
TJ.
Here we go.
Let's go.
Talk about it. You played there. When I was in KC, I didn't even know they had a fucking women's soccer team.
Y'all crazy. Hey, well, I'll go. I'm with the Rams. Up 17-0 in the last game. Obviously, the Niners come back and win that game. It's going to come down to Raheem Morris and that defense. Can they stop the run? I say they make the necessary adjustments this time around. And they win this game. And 4 weeks ago, the Bengals beat Kansas City. It was in Cincinnati. Playing in Arrowhead Stadium is going to be a challenge. But I believe they're going to get it done. People can say, oh, they're not ready. They don't have the experience. The only way to get experience is to get it. And so the Chiefs scored 3 points against the Bengals in the second half that game. 3 points. So that defense figured something out. And so whatever they figured out, I see a continuance of that. I'm going Rams, Bengals in the Super Bowl.
Ooh, man, I didn't expect that one, man. All right. You know your boy Burrow got sacked like 9 times, TJ. So I'm a little concerned about that.
And he's still playing.
I'm just saying, man, he didn't have to score that many points going against the Tennessee, but it's going to be a little different going against the team. He gets sacked 8, 9, 10 times. It might be ugly.
But Kansas City will present more opportunities for the Bengals to get sacks because they'll throw the ball more as well.
I would bet you, Darnell, but we know you don't pay good on your push-up bets.
Thank you, Andrew Jones, for the shout-out for FC Kansas City and Atlanta B. I appreciate you, FYI.
You play for a lot of teams, man. They really passed you around a lot. That's not how it works. That's concerning. That's concerning. They passed you around like a basketball.
Yes, Emily went to beat games. See, you know what? I have some fans on here, so you know what? Just stop. Just because you have no athletic.
Hey, why don't you act like you've been there before? You like
Let's
the kid that scored a touchdown, and you're like,
next question. Woo! Let's go.
I'm waiting on that Super Bowl pick.
My Super Bowl picks is the 49ers. It's like when you play against your little brother. I don't care how good your little brother got. Once you get on the court with him and some bad shit happen, he like, oh, no, it's happening again.
you got the Niners winning it all?
I got the Niners. I got Niners-Chiefs rematch. And this time Shanahan manages the game, and, you know, they have a chance. But Jimmy G has been playing. They've been winning in spite of Jimmy G. I think this weekend they play great defense, and they win because of Jimmy G.
Oh, you drunk.
I wish.
Right.
Well, listen, I do want to ask you guys to something I've always kind of wanted
Wait,
to know.
One more time. Me and TJ got a bet, man. I texted him early today. I said, man, I haven't had none of TJ's money in a while. So I can't wait. I've already counted it. You know, my kid's birthday was just yesterday, so I sent
him.
Well,
damn. Hey, check it out. It's my son's birthday today, so this dinner on going to be on you.
No. I already sent my kids to Disneyland. I said, Uncle TJ going to be paying me $1,000. I said, go ahead and invite some friends. I got them, rented them a nice Sprinter. And it's all courtesy of Uncle TJ.
Wait, oh, I have the same picks as TJ. So that means if he wins, I win as well.
You don't got enough money. You're on a budget, you said.
Wow.
he said, hey, y'all, enjoy yourselves today.
Oh, my gosh.
Hey, all Darnell, right. Darnell, don't do none of that texting in the group chat during the game shit, bro. Seriously.
First quarter.
No, please.
It's over for the
Orlando, I hope you're looking at this discussion because people are funny down here.
Orlando was a man of the people in the chat. Well, listen, I know you guys played like in different eras and everything like that. I know TJ didn't have social media as much, but I want to know if like for each of y'all, like, were y'all the type of people to like go and you know, read, like, did y'all care what people said about you and wrote about you in terms of like while you guys played, good or bad, like good game, bad game, like did y'all tap into that?
You get the most shit, so how does that make you feel?
Man, 95% of people don't care about your problems and the other 5% happy you got them. But I do know a friend in here that was really emotionally affected by what people think about him.
Oh, who's your friend?
So I went to Ball State. I didn't play in the league. So I ain't had too many people tweeting about me either way. So I had to really deal with it. I like to think that I wouldn't care based off how I am now. I wouldn't care that much. It's kind of fun. I like when people talk shit. It kind of makes me like, I talk shit back. So it's like, it don't really bother me.
But D, so, yeah. Like me and TJ, and we had like, you know, alumni, boosters, students, family, friends. At Ball State game, it was just all parents.
That was a good one. I ain't gonna lie.
It was.
Hey, you know what? When you play, you're gonna get people that like you, you're gonna have people that dislike you. It comes with the territory. It is what it is. I didn't mind if people said things bad. If you make it personal, now I got a problem. Like somebody made it personal with me and I ran up on him and let him know.
But you said you wasn't violent, bro.
No, because he made it personal and he didn't know me. He didn't know me. And you know, you hear a lot of press, oh, I don't read or I don't see any of that. Yeah, we see it all, we read it all. And you're human beings, whether you said hurt your feelings, it might not hurt your feelings. Nobody wants to see anything written about them in a negative light because you have family that see that and then they take it personal and they bring it up to you. But for me, I didn't care. If you made it personal, then I was going to run up on you and whatever happened, happened. But that didn't happen too often, a couple times, and that was it.
But what if it was like a really good game? Like if you had a 2-touchdown game or whatever, like 150 yards, were you running home to turn on SportsCenter or like,
no,
what was that like?
No, because I knew what I had done. I knew what I had done. And on every team, you probably have about, you guys would agree, 5 players that when you think of that team, you think of those 5 players. I was one of those players. And so I didn't do that. Now, early on, yeah, my first year as a starter, yeah, you want to see. But then once you get used to it, you're used to it. You don't do that anymore. And that's just being as transparent as possible.
For sure. Well, I want to ask, this is my one last group question. And then I'll let folks come up and ask questions. I know we got a lot of people that want to ask questions. So while the group is answering this question, I want everybody off stage that wants to ask a question to hit speaker request so you can come on stage and we can do this quickly. Darnell, you first. What do you miss the most about playing?
The competition. More than anything, I mean, there's competition in any job, any career, but there's nothing like
playing football and just that like you can go out there talking crazy. At the end of that, you got to show it. You know what I'm saying? And like it was competition in everything you did in the weight room, and obviously on the field, practice, and then when you get to game day, it's like, man, all the work you put in, this is the time to really let it show. And just that intense competition and that feeling of like, you know, like for me, it's like getting a sack was just like that ultimate, like, just release, the ultimate, just good feeling knowing that all the work you put in led to the results that you wanted. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll let Orlando speak, but like, just, I would compare it to like him getting like a interception, or TJ, you know, getting a touchdown. Like, just that feeling of like all this work I put in is leading to the actual results that I want. So, yeah, for me, it'd be competition.
A sack does not compare to an interception. You fucking tried it.
I'm saying to the feeling of the sack. I'm not saying the exact same. A strip sack does. A strip sack does, obviously.
You didn't get many of those, Short Arms.
Well, you better Google me. Stop playing me.
How many sacks you had, baby, Short Arms?
Picture on the wall. Picture. I got 5, 4.5, 5, 7. But I was an interior lineman. Listen, all conference guy. All conference. Google me.
D, you realize that like every time Orlando has get to step onto the pitch or the field or anything.
I know I got double digit sacks in the National Football League and I wasn't even a pass rusher.
Here we go.
Yeah.
You were there for 10 years, I would hope so. I was in college for 3. I got hurt my last year. You would have 10 sacks in 3 years.
Who fought was that? I had 4 sacks in 1 year before.
Who?
Man, Whitlock was better than you at Ball State, man.
Shit, stop playing, man. Whitlock no better than that. I would have dog with, like, I told him to his family. I would have dog with, like, he was the old lineman. Would have pulled the hell out of him.
Baby, Short Arms, you can't push pull nobody.
Man, I was Aaron Donald before Aaron Donald. Stop playing with me.
Yo, whatever Orlando, you guys say, what do you miss? Sleep better.
Orlando, what do you miss about playing most, bro?
The relationships, being in the building.
They didn't like you, O.
You crazy. That's why they paid me 4 times. For sure.
Yeah, for me, it's the fucking around in the locker room, man. The jokes, the fun that you have in the locker room, the relationships with the players, the coaches, the relationships with the, like, you form relationships with the equipment, the people in the equipment room, with some of the trainers, some of the cooks, and at the blink of eye, those relationships are over, and so you miss that part of it. But for me, you miss the competition. You miss Sunday. That's what I miss more than anything, is the competition of you versus me. It's black and white. Either I'm a win or I'm a lose. But man, those relationships, bro, and just having fun in the locker room and just being around your brothers every day, there's nothing you can do to get that back. And so you got to cherish it when you're in it. But there's just so much more, man. You get cool with guys in the equipment room, and then it's over. You get cool with certain trainers, then it's over. And you can't get it back. So that's why you got to enjoy the ride, you know, when you're going along with it.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's – I did go to, like, all the things the guy said, the competition. I crave competition. I still try to get all these boys to compete against me on the daily because I was talking mad trash. But, yeah, I crave, like, the tackling, all that kind of stuff, the hitting people. But most definitely the relationships. I realized all of my, like, really close friends were my teammates. And, you know, I just missed that camaraderie and, you know, hanging out with them and just the competition, you know. So that's definitely for me, too.
Well, shit, you couldn't be close to none of the trainers who's on a new fucking team every year.
You're such an ass. You don't even know a single thing about the soccer.
As soon as you learned that name, you was gone. Entry physical, exit physical.
All right, well, let's...
Hey, Maxwell, I got like 3 minutes personally. So if any fans got questions for me, let them know.
Nobody else got no fucking questions for you.
Hey, I'm gonna start this whole shit.
Why you ain't gave TJ his push-ups?
I'm there on Monday. I'm gonna knock it out. Y'all can film it.
Who got Darnell, before you,
man, I'll answer him. Who got him?
Well, we got a few people to hit the speaker request. Before I get to that, Darnell, I know you're about to dip. Go ahead and tell everybody where to follow you, where to find your stuff, what you're working on.
Yeah, you can find me on any social media at Darnell_Smith95. That's Darnell with two L's _Smith95. I'm sure Lauren or the gang will shout out the podcast, but About the Game Pod on Instagram and Twitter as well. And follow The Porch Podcast as well, man. The Porch Podcast _ on Instagram. It's my other podcast that I'm building up. So
there we go. We love it. All right, let's get some folks. Let's get some fans on here to ask some questions. We're going to start with Kevin. Kevin, what's up, man? You there?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Kevin, what up, player?
Not much. I agree with Orlando when it comes to the final pick for San Francisco and Chiefs. I wanted to ask, though, quarterback, wide receiver, tight end, skill position, who do you have? Who do you think when it comes down to it? When it comes Mahomes and Hill and Kelsey, then you have Kittle over Kittle, Debo Samuel, and what they're running at quarterback in San Francisco.
I'll go first with that. That's easy. It's no question, not even a comparison. That goes to Kansas City. Kansas City has by far and away the best quarterback that's proven. They've played together a long time. Kittle and Kelsey, very comparable. Tyreek Hill and Debo, they're comparable in that they just get it done in different ways. What is Kansas City because they've done it for such a long period of time? Jimmy G and Mahomes, not in the same sentence.
Man, I couldn't agree more. But San Francisco is, and the Rams are probably the most well-coached offensive teams. If you look at, I always like to look at the first 15. If you look at the Rams and the 49ers first 15 plays of the game, they're gonna move the ball, they're gonna make positive plays, and they're setting up the dictation of what they want to do for the rest of the game.
Yeah, I brought that up because this year Debo kind of exploded, but you're definitely right, TJ. When it comes to quarterback, no question, Mahomes. I think the way that Shanahan designed that offense and calls the plays, he can cover up for Garoppolo.
Yeah, for sure. I think Shanahan deserves a lot of credit for how he orchestrates that offense. And 49ers fans are not shy about telling you that either. They throw a lot of shade to Garoppolo, even though, you know, he's had some success there. But
it's just the truth. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he has two touchdowns, five picks. That's what he's doing. No, he's not a bad quarterback, but you look at the quarterbacks left. You rank him, where does he fall?
He's the worst.
Yeah.
By far.
Yeah.
I mean, it's by far. It ain't even like, it's by
and
far.
And I feel like there's only so much you can do as a coach because McVay just doesn't have the horses. They don't have anybody like a Kelsey or a Kittle at tight end, even though they have that Stafford Cup.
I mean, Sean and Shanahan are the same. You know, schematically, they're going to figure it out. I mean, Higbee's no slouch. Cooper Kupp, when it comes to the feel for the game and his football IQ, is probably as high as I've seen in a long time for a wide receiver. And as we say that they don't have the horses, you know, as much flack as I give TJ, they got Aaron Donald and Von Miller. You know, they get up on you by two scores and put you in pass mode, and it's over.
For sure. Kevin, thanks for asking your question, man. Appreciate you coming up. Josh, what's up, my man?
I got a couple questions. Two of them are for all of you. One of them is just for TJ. The first question is, y'all talked about the media and, you know, people are going to write negative, people are going to write positive. You see it all. So as a media member myself, when I write negative stories, and not so much negative, but just, you know, sometimes you have to. Did that deter you from having relationships with reporters? You know, I'll even call it out. This is up online for everyone to read. So Devin White had an up and down season this year. I called him out on it, but he also gave a very mature answer where he, you know, at the end of the season, where he said, you know, he's been overly aggressive. He needs to play more discipline and showed a lot of accountability. And I also highlighted that. So like when you read something like that or your family members read something like that, do they, that affect you any certain way of like, man, I don't like this guy or I can't trust this guy, or do you just kind of take it all in stride?
No, you have a job to do, and your job is to report the game and tell the people how you see it. Did I take it personal or did I hold grudges? Absolutely not, because one guy that I got into it, we end up getting cool. And you can write whatever you want to write as long as you don't make it personal. If TJ dropped the ball that he should have caught, yeah, I did. I can't get mad about that. But when you start to try to make it personal, I'm going to say something to you, and then you can tell me why you said what you said, and maybe we agree, maybe we don't. But never, ever personal. It's business. You got a job to do. I respect that. That's how you feed your family. And so I'm never going to get mad at that. And that's just me. If you're saying something that I did wasn't right, I have no problem with it, because I know it was right. I know I dropped the ball. I know I should have caught it. I know I should have done X, Y, and Z. That makes sense?
Yeah, I'm kind of right there with TJ, but I looked at it different. Criticize the play, not the person. Just criticize the play, and you know when you do that, it's fine. But reporters have a quick tendency of the cop out is, well, they're getting paid this much, and you know, as a player, the contracts are two-way streets. I never wrote up a contract and signed it. So when they say you're getting paid too much, it's kind of like, you know, there's somebody that believes that they're not getting paid enough. And that was my only thing, you know, it was just when you use the cop out about how much someone was getting paid. Like, do you see how much they're getting paid opposed to like what's happening? You know, just criticize my play, you know, leave my finances out of it.
I agree with the guys. I think it's when they hit on the personal, like for me and like the World Cup, and like after you have a emotional or a bad game or something, and it's, you're used as a scapegoat, and then the reporters turn it around and make it, and they say you're a bad person because you don't talk to them after or something like that. I think those are the instances where they just have to be a little bit more sympathetic. But you know, I understand the whole job part. So yeah, you can ask the second question.
More like along the terms of football, real football, not soccer. Sorry.
Oh, thank you. What's your Instagram? I'm gonna follow you. That shit that you play is called soccer.
So, do you guys think that lack of open locker rooms is hurting players this year in terms of being able to tell kind of their side of the story and only being available? Because when you have these media sessions, a lot of them were on Zoom this season, and you know, you can't go in and talk to a player post game or post practice and say, you know, and really get a feel for them. Do you think that's hurt a lot of players this season, or do you think that's something that they're like, we don't have all the media people coming in here? And what are your thoughts on that?
A player could log into his Instagram or his Twitter and say whatever he want to say, and to be just as good as that. So I don't think it's hurt. I think it's helped. The media is like, has always been like on some conquer and divide type things. Nobody wants to read about good stories. You want to read bad things. When we get up here, anybody can go on the news. They're not going to tell you about the people feeding the homeless and the amount of homeless people that are getting into homes. They're going to tell you about the people starving and the people that are homeless.
I mean, for me, it's more so, there might be some elements to where that's not a good thing, meaning just being able to have a relationship. You can pick up certain vibes when you're in the locker room and uneasiness and things of that nature that you just can't do over a Zoom call. And so I've always thought that's how you develop relationships and friendships with players and trust with players, being in the locker room, talking to them personally and showing them you can trust me and vice versa.
Yeah, I agree. It's definitely a tough situation. I got two more things. I'm sorry, Max. I'm taking up all this time. But advice for, as a player, what you would give advice for a media member who covers a team? And then real quick, I want to know, is Tom Brady the greatest football player? We know he's the greatest quarterback. We all consider him the greatest football player. I know TJ, Jerry Rice, Orlando, you know, Sanders is probably a guy you looked up to, especially with a star in your helmet. So is he the greatest football player? And then TJ, what's up with Seattle?
All right, I'm going to answer this first, so I'm going to go first. For media member, just be honest, man. Write it how you see it. And just be honest, you know, don't. A lot of times when people don't understand the full thing of something, they assume, like in Lawrence's case, I mean, I know a little bit about it because I'm a big person that looks into it.
She wasn't ready to talk after the World Cup. Now, could she have probably done better in making herself available? Probably. Would I have advised her to handle the situation better going forward? Yeah, probably. But, I mean, she was hurting, you know, and as an athlete, nobody wanted it more than I'm sure she did. She had been through a lot. She had been through she worked her whole life to get on that stage. And, you know, to attack her, I guess you could say, and attack her character because she wasn't ready to talk wasn't right. I think maybe they should have waited. But at the same time, I understand that when you don't make yourself available, they got a job to do. So they're going to, you know, I've always been told to paint your own picture. So I think, you know, just be honest. Players paint their own pictures and it makes everybody's job easier.
All right, so I'll go. I believe Tom Brady is the best football player to ever play. The consistency, the longevity. He's better now than he was when he started. He's won a Super Bowl in pretty much every decade. Just what he's been able to do, stay injury-free and be consistently great pretty much every year. Nobody has done that. Nobody has done that. And so, yeah, for me, it's Brady, greatest quarterback, greatest player. What happened in Seattle? We don't got enough time, but to kind of break it down, to be honest with you, Pete Carroll, when he got there, he wanted guys that he could control and dictate how they spoke and things that they did, and he couldn't do that with me. You know, he reached out to me when he got the job. We went out to dinner out here in L.A. We got together a few times. But I think the turning point was my wife had a miscarriage in training camp. And I was gone for 3 days. Never once did he call or text me, ask me how she was doing. Even when I got back, he never asked me how I was doing. And our Deion Branch was in Seattle with me. And he was like, bruh, kind of rubbed me the wrong way. Pete was like, man, practice is a lot quieter when PJ's not here. So that kind of pissed me off. That here, this is what you're thinking, and my wife just had a miscarriage. So then I went back to practice. I'll never forget, I ran a go route, and the DB fell at the line of scrimmage in press coverage in practice. So as I was running the go route, I did like a 360 spin and caught the ball and just started talking shit. And the DB coach was Jerry Gray at the time. He came over, we need this type of shit. We enjoy this. Pete was upset about that. But I didn't care, because at that point, Pete had pissed me off because my wife has a miscarriage. You don't ask how I'm doing, how she's doing, none of that. That, even if you don't give a fuck, you fake like you do. And he couldn't control me. He couldn't dictate how I spoke, how I carried myself, because here I am. I'm in my 11th year in the league. No, my 10th year at the time. And so, yeah, he wanted the young kids that he can control. Enjoyed my time in Seattle, though. Like, me and Lopez the Tupu, we talk often. Wouldn't change it for anything. But, yeah, Pete Carroll, he's a sucker.
Thanks.
TJ, first of all, I'm really sorry to hear that about
No, I mean, that's long ago. You don't have to be sorry. I'm just like, you know, I don't say that for sympathy or nothing like that.
He got more than enough kids, man.
Yeah, I got four kids. Yeah, I got four of them. Yeah.
That sucks. Take that 15 I do want to ask
guaranteed you that, real quick, though. Thank you.
And thanks, Josh, for the question. I got to get some people up. But I do want to ask. Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to cut him off. I do want to ask you, though, do you feel like he, like, that culture, and I don't know how tapped in you are to Seattle, but, like, do you think that culture is still existent there, or has it changed your view, or what are you, what's your thought on that?
I'm cutting you off a little, Maxwell. Just look at the history. Look at the history. Richard Sherman starts talking, he got to go. Earl Thomas starts talking, he got to go. Anybody that starts to form an opinion as you get older and you realize the BS that's going on, he wants to get rid of you and bring in other guys. And it's not worked out well because he's getting rid of players that they could still play somewhat. They weren't done. And Pete Carroll is a great coach. He really knows what he's doing. He needs a team full of young guys that are going to buy in to everything he's saying. When you've been in the league for years, you realize what's BS and what isn't. These young guys, we just happy to be in the league, man. We go, yeah, you're right, coach, yeah. As you get older, you start to realize what is substance and what isn't. And that's just my opinion on it.
For sure, absolutely. We got Larry up on stage to ask a question. Larry, what?
Weezy, what's good, bro? Thanks for bringing me up. How's everybody doing? TJ, I remember a few years ago, it was like Colin Cowherd on one of those stupid-ass talk shows that you was talking about, like, the lack of supplies and, like, Gatorade and stuff in your early years in Cincinnati. Can you shed a little more light on, like, that whole situation? And do you think if that had any effect on how the players approached the game? And, like, if there's so much media granted access, so much access to the players in the facilities, why wasn't this really spoken about in the news and brought to the forefront? And I'm curious to know if Orlando and Lauren experienced anything like that during their respective careers.
Dallas was like Walmart, except for it was free. I didn't even have to go to Walmart, get my toothpaste, my toothbrush. But go ahead, TJ.
No, it was like, we didn't have water and Gatorade. That was my rookie. I didn't know that wasn't normal. I thought it was like this in the league. I'm like, damn, college is better than the league. I didn't know any different because that was what I experienced. But you get guys that come from other teams that are vets in the game, and they're like, bruh, it's like this where I came from. So I didn't know any better. For me, I was happy to be in the league. I mean, I grew up on Section 8, on welfare, food stamps, and not the EBT card. I mean, the food stamps. And so I was just happy to be in the league. And Marvin came in and he changed the culture, and that takes time. And so I don't say this to bash the Bengals. I just say to say my experience and what I went through. The Bengals, once Marvin got there, they changed everything. Everything started to change. And so it wasn't because this is just what they wanted to do. I think they thought this is what everybody did. Marvin got there, showed them how things should be, and they were open to the change, and they changed.
Go ahead, Lauren. It's your chance to complain about soccer.
It's my chance. You know what? I appreciate Emily in the bottom here, like just chatting. Look, I got nothing to say because y'all are divas. Y'all are divas. Like, I didn't get anything. I started my pro career on $1,000 a month. It only came out to be like $700. So I played for love of the game. I didn't, you know, I brought my own Gatorade and water. And that year we won the championship. So everything worked out just fine. So that's all I got to say. But yeah, there's a lot of work to be done.
Hey, Kevin, I like working with Martin Weiss. That's my guy, Kevin. Just to let you know, that's my guy. Martin is a good person, knows what he's doing. I enjoy working with him. Sorry, Lauren.
No, T, you're fine. I'm answering questions too.
Shit about your own Gatorade. Had no damn fans in the stands. It was like a practice. Thanks for answering my question.
Hey, you know what's great? You know, I did an internship with the Bengals, man. And they kitchen now, and they got chefs up in that thing. They got smoothie breaks. I'm like, damn, things have changed.
If only.
When I went in there, oh, man. So yeah, they got it together now. That's one thing I will say. It's all the way right.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to know. And, Larry, thank you for your question. Yeah, I wanted to know, I mean, we kind of talked about it earlier, how the culture has changed. But, yeah, I mean, that's kind of – I feel like people remember the Bengals for all those stories we hear about, you know, them being super cheap and, you know, not having a full scouting staff and all that stuff. And, you know, I'm not sure, you know, fully how they are compared to the rest of the league. But it's nice to hear that, you know, things have improved at least somewhat there for sure. And you know, obviously – you know, it'll be huge if they're able to, you know, beat Kansas City this Sunday. That'll be I think that'll be a crazy game. I'm looking forward to that one more so than the Rams 49ers. But it's dope that you know they're having a success. Well, I appreciate, you know, TJ, Lauren, Orlando, you guys for chopping it up with me tonight here on Spotify Green Room. I put the links to the podcast and the social media in the chat, but I want you guys to, are there any upcoming episodes you guys are excited about? What can people look forward to in 2022 with the About the Game podcast? Let us know.
I mean, I think every episode we do is always a little different. You never know where it may go.
That's, you know, for
it's our first season with this, so we only going to get better, you know, as you figure out what works, each other's personalities, how to play off of each other. We'll finish through the Super Bowl, take about 4 to 6 week off and get right back at it. You know, I ain't getting back at shit.
I'm like Aaron Rodgers. I got to negotiate my contract.
So, yeah, we'll get right back at it.
I got to weigh my options, Weezy.
We got the diva. Can you tell we have
If there's any other podcasters out there looking for
Wants you, oh. Nobody that's how
you, that that is what I was thinking when I seen you play for 10 different soccer teams, but I wasn't gonna say nothing.
Hey, but Orlando, yes, just go ahead. No, I was just gonna say, Orlando, just shoot me a DM on IG, tell me your price, and I'll send you an invoice next time.
I'll tell you, I'm looking for
him. You don't want him.
Oh, God. I'm looking for it, you know. Nah, I'm kidding. I think we're gonna get better. I think people want to listen to things that are organic, you know, get to know people's true personality. They don't like to hear the same, you know, fake enthusiasm every single intro. You know, they want to hear people's true personality and their true feelings for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one thing I love about listening to y'all's pods is that y'all just get straight into it. Like, y'all just start talking. It's not like, oh, we're going to talk about this today. It's just like, y'all just jump right into it. So I love it. Lauren, tell us what you're looking forward to this year.
No, like I've had so much fun with the guys, you know, this year. So I'm definitely looking forward to, you know, next season. We're going to have so much fun and we just have a good time. And I think that's what makes it work is we're having a good time. We're talking shit to each other. It's fun to, you know, it's fun to listen to. I'm always right, so it's great. I always side with TJ most of the time. But yeah, we have a good time. So we appreciate everybody that came on here to chat with us and listen in and to check out about the game because you guys are going to love it.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you so much, everybody that listened here. Again, live on Spotify Green Room. Really enjoyed it. Shout out to Darnell for setting all this up as well. He's been a rock star. I really happy I've been gotten to know him over the last year or so. Definitely one of the good guys in this industry, and you know, again, TJ, Orlando, Lauren, can't thank you guys enough for agreeing to do this and hanging out with us on a Thursday night. Looking forward to this NFL weekend. Hope you guys enjoy the rest of y'all year. Much I wish you guys much success with the About the Game podcast, and hopefully we'll be able to chop it up again soon.
Hey, my pleasure, Maxwell, and everybody listening. Appreciate you. Support us. Don't support us. It don't matter. Like us or don't like us. It don't matter. You know, we gonna do us regardless. But for y'all that tuned in tonight, man, appreciate you. Much love.
Let's rock, we at the barbershop. Let's rock, we at the barbershop. Stay tuned.
All right, y'all, that's it for this episode of The Barbershop. Keep showing us love. We appreciate it. Go ahead and rate and review this podcast and also share on social media and tell your friends about us. And if you're feeling generous, there's a link in the description to become a monthly subscriber. You can do it for as little as 99 cents and you can support this podcast and help us to grow and to glow. We appreciate all the love. We'll see you next time here at The Barbershop.
Stay tuned.